Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. I guess everybody's talking about these little bit of snow. We would call it up north snow flurries, you know. They call them snow showers here, and we may have a few snow showers this evening, but have no fear because I've got George McKinney with the Greenwood County Emergency Management sitting right across from me this afternoon. George, do you think we have anything to worry about here today?
I think we're pretty good. I've talked to the National Weather Service and DOT, and it seems like we're good right now. I don't think we'll have any real issues with it.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. Although, I will tell you this, I don't remember when it was, but last fall or something, I called you and asked you a question, and you told me, "Oh, Ann, I'm really busy right now. I've talked to him. We may have flooding and everything." I remember looking at my phone, and I never saw anything about this. And then we really did have really bad rains, and I was like, "How did George know?"
Well, we work real closely with the National Weather Service and other organizations to go through that, and they were predicting they did very well. Unfortunately, they did a very good job of predicting what we were going to have in this area during that
Yeah.
time frame, but they do a very good job up there, and it's great working with them. They got a good crew that works real hard.
Yeah. Well, I know that most people would be saying, you know, we've had enough rain already. I mean, you know, when you look at the groundwater, it's just, it doesn't seem to get dried out.
Yeah, and it doesn't. The water table levels are so high. It's probably the highest it's been in 10 years or so. And so when it gets that high, it has nowhere to go but to run off and kind of sit up top. So yeah, it does get a lot wet. Just a little bit of rain seems like a lot more nowadays.
Yes, you know, and you know, I'm just waiting for this spring or this summer for them to tell us we're in a drought. Because it just
That'll be
doesn't seem
interesting.
like that would be possible. But George, you have a very important job. You are the Greenwood County Emergency Management. I know last fall, last October, you and your whole team was really tested on pulling things together. And of course, we had you on the radio several times to talk about the situations. I would love to get an update how you feel that Greenwood County is doing now.
We're doing very good. We're on the path to recovery. In fact, that's one of the things I'd like to talk about a little bit today is recovery. But we're doing better. From the county standpoint, and the public assistance or the public things, we are pretty much along the way of getting those corrected. The thing that we're working on and feel we may need a little bit more work on is the individual assistance for those unmet needs now that that phase is kind of going away. FEMA's kind of moving out. Now we need to look at and see what do the citizens have from an individual assistance need that are not met yet. And so that's one of the things we're working on our long-term recovery committee that we're setting up.
Yes, now this is something new. This committee is
Correct.
is a new thing, and it's basically being formed to help those people, individuals, families that have these unmet needs.
Correct. It is established after you have a disaster of this size and stuff, and you come together and pull together long-term recovery. And that long-term recovery can be both economically, can be individual assistance, it can be public assistance also. We just lucked out here in Greenwood County, and only in a sense, not having to have to deal with the economical side of it, where we had lots of businesses damaged, but we did have lots of individuals, and that's not lucky on that side. So we're focused more this time with this long-term recovery on that individual assistance for that long-term recovery.
Now, how is this recovery group coming together?
What we've done is we have an organization, really it's more of an association called Volunteer Organizations Active in Disasters. The Lakelands, it's the 7 counties around us. What we've done
Short
is
name.
short name, yeah,
Yeah.
Lakelands VOAD
Okay.
is a short name for it. So, and really what that is we brought together lots of volunteer organizations, both faith-based, non-government, as well as we've got other organizations like the county government. The emergency managers from each of those locations are a part of this committee too. We're not voting members. We can't be voting members. It's only those volunteer organizations can be voting members. But what we do is we brought those together, and it was forming as this disaster came about. In fact, it was October, November. We were supposed to have our first meeting, but with everything that was going on and everybody was working, we ended up meeting the 11th of January. January for our first meeting. We have quite a few organizations, members of that right now, and what we've done is taking that, because they deal with the individual assistance a lot better in some cases than we in the government do. And so what we've done is use those to form the core for this committee. And then what we're going to do is we're going to bring in other individuals from the counties to kind of sit on that, and it'll be a volunteer situation. And it could last for a year, 6 months to a year, that committee could, but it will focus purely on the events that occurred from October 3rd through October 23rd of this, well, really October 1st through October 23rd of this past year.
Didn't we get flooded again, George? I mean, I thought I got flooded again.
Well, actually, we had about four different events from 1st of October to the 31st of December, the thing about it is we never met that level that we did in October. And so, yes, those were events, and we still will look at some of those on this. Our focus, though, is on that October side, and there has been some funds that have been brought together at the state level and different levels that are focused on that October. But that's one of the things we want this organization to do also, is look at those other needs that where we don't meet that federal level of assistance where we can meet. And that's probably going to be 90 to 99% of the events that we have. We will not meet those federal declarations. So what we want to look at is how can we do things here locally and bring together those volunteer organizations to help focus us in this community.
And that's really like self-help.
Correct.
Self-help within the group. And, you know, I think one of the things that Greenwood does very, very well is this self-helping within our organization. Mm-hmm. You just look at the soup kitchen, the food bank, United Ministries, all of these do a great job of helping. So this is just really expanding that for this time period to try to, I guess, bring people back to holistic.
Yeah, and what this really does is we have all of these organizations out there, but we don't have a central point for them to come to and meet. And it's not intended to be a whole other volunteer organization. It's really, we will only meet once, twice a year is what our charter is, but we may meet a couple more times if we need to. But really what it's designed to do is bring those organizations together and identify what each of those do. And then from that standpoint, we can identify those shortfalls that we have within the community. And if there's other organizations or organizations that are members, they can look at how they could come through and fill some of those shortfalls within the county or within the organizations and stuff. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do. And it's a national level event too. There's a national VOAD, there's a state VOAD, and then there's a now what we call the Lakeland VOAD. And so there's other VOADs across the state as well. Some of them are individual counties, some of them are regional like ours are.
Now, one of the other things that you were telling me before we came on the air was how you'd love for some businesses to be involved too.
Sure. We would like for those to partner with us, because there are needs from that standpoint, especially as we start going through this recovery side. There's going to be some needs that potential for donations or for other ways of helping out. And so we would like for businesses to be a part of that as well. And we're opening it up to anybody that wants to be a member. It's not exclusive or anything. The only thing you can't be is you can't be a government entity to be a member of this.
Well, that's a good thing.
Actually, you can be a member as a government, but you can't be a voting member. You can be there. And part of it is it helps us as emergency management coordinators and directors to be able to go to these organizations and say, here's what we need. Here are our shortfalls. Are there things that y'all have that y'all can do to help us out as well? And some of this, I'll tell you, a disaster within a disaster sometimes is the spontaneous volunteers that come up. And one of the things that we work with these volunteer with these VOADs is to provide some of that oversight of that those volunteers. And there's organizations out there that come in and as part of VOADs and do that for you and help us out.
Well, you know, I know that we're going to hear a word from our sponsors here in just a second, but one of the things that is out there, even though you actually will be looking at the requests that were filed through FEMA and then be looking at what additional help if FEMA did not make them whole totally, and we're going to talk more about that. Hey, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash, then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here with George McKinney, the Emergency Management Services Coordinator. Management, that means that he's always managing everything here. You may have seen the article about him in the Index Journal. I think it was yesterday. I didn't know you were going to have an article in the paper and then be here on the radio with us. Wow, talk about coverage, George.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get lucky once in a while.
That's right. But I know that from October through probably through Christmas, you put in a lot of extra time.
Yes, we did, and there was lots of other events that occurred, more rain that caused more flooding, and so we spent lots of time in there working there, but also trying to keep up with that the October flood situation as well. So it was, in some cases, we got to see some of the same individuals, unfortunately, more than once
over
that time
period. You have one flood, and then you follow it up with another, and mm-hmm. You were telling me that some of the, what are some of the types of things that FEMA wouldn't have taken care of and that that this Lakeland's Active Volunteer Disaster Group is going to be working with?
Well, in most cases, it may have been that they did not provide as much funding as the individual needed to take care of, whether it was replacing part of the house. They don't cover...
No, I thought they said it was our tax dollars at work, and it was coming right back here to take care of our needs, George.
Yes, well, they do, but they're not making you whole. They're making you...
Part whole. That's part always whole. The problem, George. I need to be totally whole. Yes,
I understand.
Okay.
And that's where the unmet needs come in. And that's where the volunteer organization come in on the unmet needs side of the house. And that's what it's all about. It's more the total package, if you will, from FEMA being able to do as much as they can. And then we're in that phase now of identifying what those shortfalls are and trying to work with those. And it could be anything from clothing that you don't have sufficient of. It may be homes that is not totally repaired, and we can come in and do some stuff there potentially, as well as it may be some more debris in your yard that is there, that is out there, that we might be able to come in and take care of as well. So it's a different things across the board. I know, as an example, there was one family that got about $1,600, but their driveway washed out at the same time. So FEMA doesn't pay for a driveway. FEMA pays for the home. So they had to take care of either their home or their driveway. So there were some unmet needs that were there. So I'm not saying we can go in and replace all of the driveways and stuff, but
sure,
we can look and see what we can do. And that's where we try to look at and find out what those needs are. And part of that process is getting case managers in here to start communicating with those individuals and trying to find out where those unmet needs are.
Now, are you starting from the FEMA cases first? If somebody didn't go through FEMA, would there be assistance, or?
What we'll do is if they did not go through FEMA, and I've gotten a couple of calls, in fact, since the 4th of January on that, and we keep those numbers, and we will contact them again to see where they're at in that process. One of the things that we will have to do is, as the committee for this long-term recovery that we are establishing will set the priorities on where they will go, because there is limited funding. It's not saying that we can meet every unmet need here, but we will do our best to do that locally. And if we can't, and if some stuff that's maybe needed elsewhere, we can go back to state, because they have some capabilities. When I say state, I'm talking about the state volunteer organizations active in disaster, and they may be able to send some other resources in here to assist us. So we'll have to look at it, and like I say, we'll do our best to get everybody back whole.
So if you applied through FEMA and they did their partial funding like mm-hmm. you're talking about, now do these people have to contact you?
What we'll do is we have been able to work with FEMA to get phone numbers and addresses of those individuals, and we will be contacting you through those caseworkers, and they will be calling to see, did you have those needs met? And in some cases, we know of individuals that have not had their needs met, because we've been in communication with them, and we're going to start working with those as early as possible. And we're not working with others if they're there. We will try to get those case managers, and that's where we're at right now, getting the case managers on board, getting them trained, and then start making those phone calls to see where we're at.
you know, Fox Hollow had just horrible luck. I mean, you know, they got partially cut, putting themselves back together, and then, of course, it flooded again. What is happening at Fox Hollow now?
I'm sorry?
What is happening at Fox Hollow?
At Fox Hollow, we have worked with them. In fact, we met, I'm trying to think, about 2 weeks ago with the city and the county engineer and myself and with the Department of Agriculture through the Soil and Water Conservation Group. We're looking at cleaning up that creek in a few places. We're meeting with trying to put that grant together. That's a grant that we're working to get in here too. So we're working to try to do that to help the water flow move through there a little bit better.
Sure. And how about the townhouses right there?
Yeah.
How are they doing? Are they?
They're doing better. I'll tell you.
Okay.
I'm not going to say they're all
whole
yet, but that's part of the thing that we will be working with them also to see if they have any unmet needs in that area, and we will work with them also through this long-term recovery committee.
Sure. So those are some of the things. Now, is this basically for individuals, or does it in some areas? I know, for example, in Columbia, for example, a lot of the businesses got hurt there. I don't know if we had any businesses that were hurt here.
We had some that were, but they were not to the level that were needing any assistance on the backside outside of what their insurance and stuff was able to cover, to my knowledge and stuff. So really, this long-term committee is more focused on that individual assistance. We didn't have a lot on the government side either. We had some, but we're able to take care of that through FEMA and stuff. And we'll have some unmet needs, but we'll go through for some mitigation grants to try to help us out on that as well. But from a recovery standpoint, it's more focused on the individual side. That's where we had most of our unmet needs and stuff. And so that's what that long-term recovery tries to come together and do.
Now, as far as if somebody wants to get involved and wants to help out, whether it's a business or an individual, should they call you? What should be done?
Correct. If you want to be a part of either the VOAD or this long-term recovery committee, please give me a call at 942-8553. We will be meeting with this long-term recovery committee again on the 22nd of January at 6 o'clock at the courthouse. So if you do want to come, please call me so I make sure I have a room large enough to hold us all. Hopefully we'll get a lot of participation on that.
This has to be a very rewarding to help people get back on track.
It is. It is, and somewhat, and I said in my interview before, I tell you, there's two areas that I really like. The preparedness is what I like the best, because you really get out and you get to meet the people and you start working with them and building that relationship, if you will, and partnerships across there and networking. And this time is trying to work with that. But once again, I will tell you, it's going to be the volunteer organizations that are out there that are going to be doing that, and it's the community that's going to do that. And part of what we're trying to do here is build a resilient community. And part of that is, how does the community help itself on that side? How do we prepare? How do we make sure we're strong on the to deal with it? And then how do we recover and make ourselves resilient in that sense? And that's what this is really all about.
Yeah, it's about not just taking care of what's here now, but taking care of the long term and being prepared. I mean, who would have thought that we would be in a situation where we had so much rain we didn't know where to go or what to do? I mean, if you just look on the bypass down there by Burton Plaza, what they went through with the water and everything there is phenomenal. I mean, it looked like it was never going to get fixed. I mean, because it was a big problem there.
Yeah, it is.
So, you know, you don't think about water particularly, because most of the time we seem to be in a drought, more drought-oriented, but what happens when water won't stop?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we're looking at, is how we can better deal with this stormwater runoff too. We're looking at doing a study within the county, a countywide study. It's not just focused in one area, but we will be focusing to do this study. Hopefully we'll be able to do it through mitigation grant dollars as well as county dollars and city dollars. And we're working with all the municipalities in the county to do that as well, and other government organizations as well.
All right. Hey, we're here with George McKinney. He is with Greenwood County Emergency Management. We're going to hear the news, a word from our sponsors. We'll be back with George. If you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster. I loved cappuccinos. So I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We're with George McKinney with the Greenwood County Emergency Management. We've talked about the Lakeland's Active Volunteer Disaster Group that has formed. And one of the things I was asking you, George, is this just for this disaster here, or is the goal to have a long-term organization able to react?
Yes, the Lakeland's VOAD that we have, the volunteer organizations active in disaster, is long-term. We're hoping to keep this for forever and bring in as many volunteer organizations as we can into that, as well as other businesses and anybody that wants to be a member. Because it is important that we work long-term and look at that, and work together is more important, too, as making sure that we're not duplicating needs as much out there, but supporting each other. And that's one of the things that this VOAD brings together, is communication and coordination, and helps them. Cooperation is the other side of it, too. Those three C's there, to make sure that they're working together to help the community as a whole. And this is not just in Greenwood County. This is also encompasses the six counties around us as well.
And you were saying that a lot of these counties may have different needs than what Greenwood has.
Correct. I mean, just with the demographics that you look at, the different things that are there. So that's the reason we look at it as a holistic side from this regional. We may be able to bring stuff to that county from our volunteer organizations that they may not have in their current one, and we have that capability of supporting it when it's needed. And so that's the type of thing that we look at, is using the resources you have to the max that you can.
Well, you were just, when we were off air, just talking a little bit about the United Center and what they've been able to do to bring services and whatnot together there. And you said you like that concept and hope that it can grow off of that for this group here.
Correct. And that's what we're looking at, is how do we bring all of these organizations together? And the United Center has done that in lots of different organizations in one location that helps that. And so we want this volunteer organizations active in the disaster. And it's really, like I say, an association. It's not a whole nother. We will not take funding for that organization. It's not looking to pull funding or anything of that. Really, it's just to bring those groups together to be able to communicate, coordinate, and also to find out what we need and how can we best help the community.
You know, back in the day when people – all right, Grace, I said you had to be quiet if you were going to be in here. Back in the day when we were building barns and farms and all this type of thing, we had that, didn't we? Individuals did that type of thing. And then as communities grew and everything, I think we got away from that a little bit, and it became, this is your problem, that's my problem, and I'm dealing with this one and you're dealing with that one. So it's actually kind of refreshing to see that you're pulling this together, and it's really the old concept of helping out your neighbors and working together.
That is. And it's we're working it from the standpoint of the volunteer side, but, you know, we'll take anyone that we can into there that wants to help out within the community.
Well, that's that's refreshing to know. And in the long run, that should be a less costly way to do things when you're able to maximize all your resources.
Correct. And that's what we're looking for.
So kudos. Now, what else did we want to talk about today? We're talking about the long-term recovery of our community. How are we doing on that?
We're doing pretty good. And part of that, and the reason we did this, was we brought the VOAD in as a core for that long-term recovery team, because what we were looking at is from the standpoint of most of it is individual assistance, and those are the unmet needs. And we brought them in from this. Once again, this is not just the Greenwood County, this is the Lakelands area, and all of the counties involved had some impact from this storm. So what we've tried to do is bring those individuals together to be able to focus those resources once again and best maximize our capabilities within this region.
Now, we have seen, as far as roads and dams and bridges out there at Gatewood, we have two ponds that are drained. And, of course, I understand out there at Hunter's Creek, they had a pond they had to do some work on. Over there at Chinkapin, they're doing mm-hmm. some work. So how is, as far as those type of projects and any other dams or anything that have problems?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and DHEC is working closely with those individuals to work through that process, and we are seeing some changes to that, I know across the state as well, to make sure that our dams are safe as they are, need to be.
If they were safe, are they safe now? I would think with so much water would have made an effect on some.
Oh, yeah, and that's the thing, that they're working with those individuals to make sure they are safe, and there are some that they've put orders out for them to drain or, if you will, draw down to levels, and all of them have, to my knowledge, within the county, done that in Greenwood County to do that and make sure that if we do have one of these rains, it just doesn't fill up and come over the top of the dams anymore. So that's one of the things they're working at with them and working with DHEC to make sure those are there.
There's also some roads I know that have been washed out.
Correct. In Greenwood County, we have one road closed right now from the storm, and that one is, I think, Creek Road West is still closed. That's a state road, and that goes over the Chinkapin Dam. And until we can get that area repaired over there at their emergency spillway, it got kind of close on this last one, so they've asked them to drain them, and they have done that. And so we're working on how we can repair that, and once that's done, then they will open that road back up. So we are lucky. I think across the state there are still 40 some odd roads in the state that are closed, state level roads or that are closed. That doesn't include any county roads, and I'm not sure of that number. I just heard that this morning on our monthly recovery call, and they're working to get those back open, but lots of them go across dams, and until those dams are repaired or fixed, it's going to take a while to get those roads back open.
Absolutely. Well, not only the dams, but did we have any bridges or anything that became problems?
We didn't have any that really became long-term problems. We had some washouts underneath some of the riprap and stuff around it, but that's all been replaced. We did have some that overtopped, but they've all been inspected numerous times now because they overtopped more than once, and DOT as well as the state worked together, the county worked together to go through and make that. I think we had one or two bridges in the county that we had to, DOT, we have an agreement with them. They come in and help inspect them afterwards and stuff. So, but every bridge in the county is open right now.
You know, what do you think overall the way the state of South Carolina has reacted since this was, you know, the 1,000-year flood, the 500-year flood, or whichever way you want to call it? How do you think, Greenwood was relatively lucky, but how do you think across the state?
I think across the state we've done real well. We've had a great resources internally, as well as we've had external agencies come in and support the state at the local and at the state level. And I think it's been very, very well done. I think it's from that standpoint, I haven't seen any real issues out there. And I'm sure there are some small issues instead of the local, but we've been able to meet lots of the needs and stuff that have occurred out there. So I think the response in this short-term recovery and starting into this long-term recovery, we've been doing real well, and the state's been working well with us, providing us resources as we need it, as well as training.
Well, you know, that's good to hear, because mm-hmm. you know, there are some areas of our country that took a long time to recover from some of the things that happened. Mm-hmm. So we've been pretty blessed. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Lay away. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
All right, we're back here this afternoon. I see if I was up north, we'd say it looks like it's spitting snow. It doesn't really look like it's snowing, but it's spitting a little snow out there. But, George, you know, every time we get just a flurry of snow, people head out to get that bread and milk. And you were just telling me why they go get bread and milk.
Well, that's just something old time, whenever individuals didn't have refrigerators and stuff to store stuff in, they bought stuff day to day. So what if the indication was to go out and stock up before you had to, because you may not be able to get out to the store to go buy stuff. And so that's the reason it still carries on today. So it's kind of an old folklore and stuff.
Okay. And then you were saying something about if the creek don't rise, what's that one there?
Oh, yeah. God willing and the creek don't rise. It's not about the water level rising. It was about Indian uprisings and stuff. That was where that one came from and stuff. So,
so it didn't have anything to do with the creeks at all?
Doesn't have anything to do. It has with the creek back.
Okay. Well, you know, as we look forward here, some of the things that y'all are going to be working on as far as a long-term plan for our community, because I think the water runoff here and everything has identified that things has changed since the last time they did any type of these surveys. Yeah. So what are you looking at doing?
We're working on right now at the county level with all the municipalities to do a stormwater study to see how the stormwater is running, also to identify where our storm drains are, because there have been more put in and stuff, and we want to verify where those are at. And we want to see how that storm water runoff is affecting different areas now so that we can better control that. And then from there, we will go forward with a plan on how we can better control that. And that's another process to go through and try to figure out how we do that. So that's a key thing that we're working on right now, too, is to do that. We've got a few other things that we're looking at. One of the things that, and this has been identified, is that we don't have any of our shelters right now do not have power backup to them. So we're working to do a grant and go through and see if we can get some of those, a couple of few generators to be brought forward to open up some of those in case we do have power outages across the county.
It'd be pretty bad to take people to a shelter and they don't have any power. Would they have been better staying home? I mean, that would kind of be the question in some of those cases.
And that is. And so what we look at is, and you still have some of that, and lots of that. And when I say that, we do have a special medical needs shelter, which is really for those individuals that need those special medical needs, not to the level of being admitted to a hospital, but need some other stuff like maybe oxygen
and stuff
like that, that they can, that is available and does have power backup. But we can't take other residents there on that side of the house, so we have to look at it. And it's a small area because you don't have as many of that population that would need it. So what we're working on is looking at those as a possible grant. We're looking at other grants that we go along as well to maybe improve some of the areas, working with the state DOT that may need larger, culverts and stuff put in. We'll work with those also to see there's some out there. We're looking at those potentially too. And we're looking, and this is really long-term, when I talk long-term, 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the road, is how we can manage this water a lot better because it's important. As we've really seen here too, is how we can better make sure that water is being run off at a proper rate so that we're not flooding certain areas and stuff.
Now, one of the things that we didn't really touch on, but people that had crops, mm-hmm. you know, that's been something that I know the state has been taking up about farmers and, mm-hmm. and reimbursements and everything. Did we have any of that in our area?
We had some minor stuff here. And when I say minor, that's
it's
level.
Not, it's not minor to them.
It's not minor to them. When I say we weren't on the level of what happened in the lower part of the state, we did have some areas that did have some crops that were there. Thing about it is that's a Department of Agriculture, and they look at lots of those crops as being insured. If you don't have that insurance, then they're not coming in to pull that in. So that is something that the state is working on and seeing how they may be able to support some of that as well. I know I don't know if there's dollars out there. I haven't really seen that lately, and so I'm not sure where that's at.
Sure. But I was just wondering if we had any as
Yeah, we had
as
a very little. When I say little, we had, I'm trying to think, some over off of the Highway 72 in that area, we had a couple of crop fields that were messed up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So this certainly was a wake-up call, I think, for our state, wasn't it?
I think it was something different that we, not that we hadn't planned for, but something that we hadn't had in a long time. I mean, when Hurricane Hugo came on, we did have flooding, but there was lots of other stuff that went along with it. This was more of a flooding event that happened over a large area. And once again, you know, gravity plays a big role in water, and it always goes downhill. So when we had the amount of rain we had up here in the upstate, it just compounded what had happened there also, because they had to deal with our water after they had dealt with theirs too. So it's a little different, and there's been some changes and outlooks in areas that we not only at the local level but at the state level too, on how we can better prepare for these events.
You know, one of the other things I think about is the trees. How many trees? I always think of trees as having deep roots. Mm-hmm. So many of our trees, they're very much on the surface. And with all this rain, it was amazing how many big trees really came down.
Yeah, and that is one of the things that will continue to be a potential issue even into this spring and stuff. Because as they get their leaves back on, they will take up more area, which means the wind. If we have strong winds and stuff like that, they will have the potential for pulling them over even more. So, and like you say, the big ones like the oak trees, those have a very small root. Now, pine trees have a tap root that goes down real deep, so they tend to break more than they do uproot, so in lots of cases. So, but yeah, that is something that we will have to kind of look at as we go forward into the spring.
And then, of course, there is Code Red. And how are we coming on getting everybody signed up for Code Red?
We're doing well. We're getting there. I would not say we'll ever be 100%. If we are, it will be a fleeting moment, because somebody will leave Greenwood County or somebody will move in that time frame. So, but we're getting a lot more participation. In fact, I signed up 3 or 4 today. We encourage people to go ahead and start signing up, continue. We're getting into the severe weather months coming up, late March, all of April and May. If you aren't.
What does Code Red do?
Code Red is the system that we have contracted with that will do what a reverse 911. It will call you if there's severe weather, if you're in that affected area, or it gives us at the governmental level ability to call you back if there's an emergency in your area. Also to say, hey, you know, you need to evacuate, or we need you to stay in your home, shelter in place, different things of that nature. So it's kind of like it's a mass notification system. I don't like reverse 911 because we don't keep the 911 numbers. We do call back, so it's a mass notification system that we have here, and it's working well. We've done it, used it for several events, both emergency and non-emergency within the county.
Now, the number to call on that is 942-8553. That's 942-8553. You also can go to greenwoodsc.gov, and there's a blank, a red.
Well, we've kind of moved that off a little bit now,
okay.
And you go to the community tab. There's a community tab on our main page, and
okay.
You hit that, and it'll pull down, and there's a list of stuff, and it's all alphabetical, and it says Code Red right there, and you can click on that, and it'll take you to the site.
Now, one of the things that the last time you were here, we talked about was what was going to happen to the sirens. And I see out in our area, the siren is still there.
It is. We're still working. Once again, the 3 months, October through November or through December, really caused some backlog of what we've been able to do. I'll tell you, trying to keep up with the day-to-day routines, I wasn't able to do a lot of that. So we're now trying to catch up. I'm not saying all of the sirens will be taken down this year or whatever. I think there's a process that they're looking at to do that and take them down. So we just haven't had the opportunity. It's not that we didn't. We just have to prioritize on what
sure.
we get done.
So that'll be something that will be coming down.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, you know, is there anything else we didn't talk about that you'd like to talk about? We've got a couple minutes left here.
Oh, I just thank you very much for having me on and allowing me to talk with the community.
Well, I think this is definitely good stuff. And if anybody has a problem that really wasn't met by FEMA, is it okay that they give you a call?
Yeah, they can call that same number, 942-8553, and leave me a number and tell me it's related to the storm. and we will get back with you. Like I say, we're going to be pulling these caseworkers. I will try to call, but I, like I say, I'm a one-man shop, so trying to do code red and do these other things and catch up, it may be a little while. So please be patient with me, and I will get back with you, though.
And then the other thing is, if you'd like to get involved in this Lakeland's Active Volunteer Disaster Group, they would love some extra people, and they'd love for some businesses to be involved, too.
Correct. Yeah, definitely. Like I say, just give me a call at that number. Like I say, it may take me a little bit, but if it gets overwhelming, I'll bring in some of those volunteer organizations to help me make some calls back on that.
And that number again is 942-8553. That's 942-8553. Give them a call. Tell them that you're interested. Tell them that maybe your organization hasn't found out about this. And I think it's really great that we're taking church-based groups and volunteer groups and putting them all together. And, you know, this is like the old barn raisings, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, when you had a barn that was down, that was not, that needed to be raised, they all came together as a community, and some people fixed food, and some people raised the barn, and yep, some people danced.
There you go.
That's right. It. And that's what makes this a good way to work things out. So hope it's been informational for everybody to learn a little bit more about what's going on. It looks like our community has pretty much weathered this this storm pretty darn good, huh?
It has. You know, it's all relative, though. There are some that are a little bit worse off than others, but we as a whole are doing it, and we're working to come together to make sure that we're able to recover from it.
All right. Well, we've been talking today with George McKinney. He is with the Greenwood County Emergency Management. He has graciously come out here. He's a good guy to know. If you have a problem, give him a call over there, but he may not answer the phone. So 942-8553, give him a call. And this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Thanks so much, George.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Gracie. Bye-bye, everybody.